years ago, I came across an article that I thought was very nice, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. The title of it is, Such is the Way of Immortal Life. I worked with a chisel to mold wood into beautiful shapes, materializing the ideas of my mind in the delicate carvings. Every night, I laid the precious little chisel to rest on a little velvet cushion. This little dwarf of a chisel worked incessantly every day and began to grow worn and old. Many times I rejuvenated it, but at last it had given all of its body to transform rusty wood into furniture and other beautiful things so that they might associate with and serve living souls. At last the little serviceable chisel was laid to rest in the graveyard of a junk shack. Such is the way of mortal life. The chisel of ambition serves to shape our crude desires into material accomplishments. Then it sleeps in the arms of science and wakes with power to serve again, until at last it sleeps in the arms of oblivious death. However, the little chisel of wisdom has shaped many crude beings into holy souls to serve God. It has molded me to be fit for his temple. Every night the little chisel slept on the velvet bosom of silence and woke with new life. And now at last it has finished its duty of molding many souls, and it has not been thrown into the junk heap of oblivion, but has been picked up by some invisible light and has received its reward of immortality by remaining forever in the heart of grateful souls and in the breast of God's infinite wisdom. And such is the way of immortal life. Our chapter this morning from the Bible is from St. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then should ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a saying, I've forgotten where it was, I think it came from Shakespeare, To thine own self be true. Then you shall not be false.
Amen.
To be true to yourself is a tremendous undertaking. There are few people in this worldly life and worldly consciousness that are really true to themselves. They are true to the Antichrist which dwells within them. That Antichrist is the human ego. It is not the God self. It cannot be by the farthest stretch of the imagination, be taken as your real self. Not at all. What does it mean to be true to yourself? It means to be kind to yourself, to love yourself, to be pleased with yourself, to live the good life, to reach for the higher things of attainment in all that you do. It does not mean to indulge yourself in the things of the senses, the things that drag your consciousness down into the depths of despair, of degradation, of disrespect, of self-disgust. Each and every one of us in the human state has at some time or other taken ourselves down to that low level. We have not reached out for the highest, and therefore we feel self-disgust. We come to the point where we can no longer stand ourselves. Something in our life is wrong, and we must reach out for something higher. It is a strange thing that man must bring himself to rub his face in the dust. He must be stripped of everything. He must sometimes have ill health, whether it be physical or mental. He must be stripped of all that he holds dear in the way of human possessions, or of friends and relatives and dear ones, before finally he turns his face to God. Then he lifts his eyes to the hills and gradually reaches out for something in his desperation which can give him that which he was not able to find for himself. It is a strange thing that this must happen, but so it is. Man will go on indulging in the things that he calls life, the things of the senses, these things which bring him nothing but despair, and the type of life that he does not want, the type of person that he does not want to be, until he comes to this moment on the road of Damascus, where he turns his face and finally reaches out for the life of the Christ. But he is always in the beginning reaching outside of himself, never within himself. And yet, this very Christ whom he professes to follow, to believe in, made the statement that God and the kingdom of heaven will be found within. And until we sought the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness within ourselves, we would never attain that state of peace and of happiness that we were looking for. There is an answer to every problem in life. There comes a time in man's consciousness where he wants to know the answers to things. He is tired of just groping in the dark, of seeing through a glass darkly. And he now wants to see the truth face to face. And he reaches out in many directions. He tries to read books. But you see, the book is outside of himself. And there are so many books written today by people who have only a glimpse of the truth, and some of them not even that. And they deign to show the way to others who are also searching for the truth and light on the path. These books, these teachings, are of no avail. As a matter of fact, they but encourage the ignorance and the darkness in man. And they are sometimes dangerous to follow because they are not based on the total realization of truth. And that truth is that which is found when you have given up all thought of yourself as separate and distinct from God. When you are willing to surrender yourself, your will, and everything that you have at the feet of the Father God. This is quite an undertaking. In the beginning, we read, we try to reach out. And these things, I suppose, from the standpoint that it is the beginning, are good because the soul must have some inspiration. But be sure you get it in the right way. Be sure you read the writings of the saints. Read the great scriptures of the world. Read the truths which have been proven beyond all question of a doubt. All of these modern things like cybernetics, these are things which are psychologically good, perhaps. They help you to do a step-by-step process in conditioning your consciousness, your mind, your daily life. They are a beginning, but you must reach up for that higher truth, and it is only to be found within yourself. So you must learn consciously how to concentrate, how to meditate. And you can concentrate on anything, but you can only meditate upon God who dwells within you. What you're searching for is a brand new world. There's a world within yourself that is so vast that you can't even begin to believe the wonder and the beauty of it. This isn't the only world, you see. We are co-workers with God when we are in the human sense, because we still think of ourselves as being separate from God. And it is only when you have gone all the way, when you have paid the full price for the pearl of God realization, and that means the total annihilation of your human ego in order that the Christed One, the Divine, may be made manifest within you, that you are no longer co-creator with God, co-worker with God. But it is God himself who dwells alone in your form. And it is that one who speaks, who thinks, who acts through this form which he alone has made. It is the temple not made by hands. How ignorant we are when we think that we do things. And we but bring ourselves trouble. We but lower ourselves in so many ways when the little ego gets into play. It takes exception to everything that everyone says and thinks. We live our lives not in accordance with being true to ourselves, but in trying to be true to everything that we think that everybody else expects of us. If we do not speak, think, act properly, we immediately think, what does the other fellow think of me? And how important is it what he thinks of you? It isn't important at all. Only to Him. If you are straight with yourself inside, if you are living the God life, the good life, if you are following the gospel, which is God's spell, then you need have no concern what any man thinks about you. You have to learn to like yourself just as you are. This is the place where you must begin. You cannot reach out for something higher except you take the first step forward from where you are. And to be satisfied with yourself is a thing of vast importance. This does not mean to say that you are going to be satisfied with what you are in the human sense. That isn't it at all. It means to say that you must accept yourself, be content with yourself, realizing that there is much improvement that could be made, much work to be done, and then reaching out for it, but not by yourself. Turn yourself over to God's hands totally and completely, and let Him do the work. Get rid of this idea of separation. Immediately go within yourself. Put your full attention upon God. Turn yourself and your life over to Him. And beg of Him, Father, reveal thyself. Reveal thyself. This is the form in which I dwell. It is a form which you made. You speak through it. You think through it. You act through it. Let no thought, no word, nor action come forth from this form, but let it be impregnated with the power of thy wisdom, of thy love, of thy beauty. You know, love is the greatest power in the world. And if you are true to your real self, which is God within you, then the expression of your life in every department is what it should be. There is nothing that is wrong with it because you are working in harmony with the laws of God, with the laws of nature, with the laws of all life. There are many people who are interested only in the physical. They are interested in satisfying the senses. There are others who are interested only in economics, in making money. There are others who are interested only in intellectual things. And then again, there are those who are interested only in things spiritual. Now, each one of these people are following but a part of life. They have not dealt with the whole man, because man is physical, he is mental, he is emotional, and he is spiritual. And you must work with the complete individual, yourself, if you are to go to God in balance. Because if you are out of balance in any one of these departments, when the time comes that this total balance is needed to go over the top of this duality and go into the oneness of God, you will not have it. You will be deficient in some way. The greatest man I met in India, the greatest saint, had that deficiency in the emotional state. He told me with his own lips that he had gone right up to the ocean, but he couldn't put his feet in. He had an emotional need which had never been satisfied. And he told me that night and day, he prayed to God that He would grant him this wish, because he knew he had that lack. Here was this man who had the power to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to walk on water, the power of bilocation, the power over all animals. He slept with them. He had power over the snakes. I saw this with my own eyes. And yet he couldn't go over the top because he didn't have total balance. Now this balance is needed in every way. And we have to reach out for the good and the brotherhood of man. You see, when you know yourself, you can be false to no man, because you realize that every single atom of space, every form which is in this earth, is a part of your very self, which is God. You are the separate cell of His one body. But until you bring that cell into the state of perfection, where it is functioning without thought of self, but just as a part of the whole, you have not accomplished your purpose. This doesn't make you a nothing. It makes you a part of the everythingness of God. God has such vast resources, and we settle for the very least. We settle for ashes. We settle for dust sometimes. A very speck of what we can become, when we can have everything. Seek ye first God and His kingdom, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. These are not merely words. This is a promise that came from the Christ, that if you become one with God, If you give up yourself in order that you may find your greater self, then everything else follows after. Now you don't go into this work for things. You go into this work to find your real self, but for one purpose, in order that you may find eternal peace, eternal happiness, eternal joy, the beauty, the wonder, and the power to live the good life, so that anything you need, not your wants, because these wants entail desires, but everything you need is given to you, and far more. But then you don't care about these things except that they are the expression of God's love for you. And for that reason, you glory. Every time something is given to you, you glory in it, because this is the expression of God from the heart of the one who gave it to you. How wonderful it is to give for God and to give to God everything you are and everything you have in order that you might experience His everythingness. How great, how good, how wonderfully loving is our Lord if we but knew it. Our good exists for us now, but we keep all of our doors and our windows closed with worry. Remember, I told you several weeks ago that worry is the interest that you pay in advance for the trouble you borrow. And this is an absolute truth. And remember that today is the yesterday, or is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. And yet, where is that worry? Now, sometimes these things manifest themselves, but they manifest themselves because your mind is so powerful that it, when it dwells on the negative, that is what it brings into being. I happen to know of one particular case at the moment where, regardless of the amount of money that has come into that home, where there's always the idea of poverty put forth. We don't have this, we don't have that. We have so many bills, and yet the money poured in. And today, these same people are absolutely destitute. They're being evicted from the home in which they live. Now, this was due to the misuse of the power of your mind, of anybody's mind. I have taught over and over and over again to think only the positive things, to bring into existence in your consciousness only those things which you truly want to live with in the spirit. Because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you all of the good things of His kingdom. These are the good things of the earth as well as the good things of the Spirit. But you must seek the things of the Spirit first. You must live the life. You must obey the Ten Commandments. You must keep your body clean and in good condition for Him, because He dwells within it. It is an honor to Him, but it is also for your little self, if you will insist on maintaining that state of consciousness. Until you make the effort in this new year to do and to be what you can, in the highest sense of the word, your life is never going to change. You can read all the books in the world, you can listen to all the lectures, but until you put into practice the principles which are taught you, until you start to do the things that you need to do to mold yourself in every department to become the highest of which you are capable, you will never make the grade. I can teach you, I can inspire you, I can even be an example for you, but I cannot get inside of you and do it for you. I assume my responsibility, but every disciple of God has an equal responsibility of doing that which he is inspired to do, that which he is taught to do. And until you spend a part of every day of your life in conscious communion with Him, your life will never change and be what it can be and should be in the Lord. You can live gloriously. You can become giants in the spirit world. And when you lift the Son of Man, which is the human ego, up into the higher consciousness, when you become the Son of God in truth, so that you know beyond all doubt that you have found your oneness with your Father, then and then alone do you really start to live. It isn't important what anyone else thinks of you. It is only important that you be true to yourself and what you think of yourself, because you have to live with you. Is somebody else going to live your life for you? Is someone else going to pay your debts? When you are in trouble, is someone else going to bail you out? God is going to do this for you, but he has to do it with your help. There are those who say, I have surrendered everything to God. I gave it to God. I spoke to God. And then they sit with hands folded, waiting for it to happen. How is God going to do anything for any one of us except through the forms which he has created? And that begins with yourself. You don't say, God, I give you everything I am and everything I have, and then just wait. They do happen that way sometimes. But God is active. This whole life is God, because he created everything, and nothing was created except by him. There is nothing in this universe that is not of God. There is no place where you can look. I don't care where it is, at what form, or in space, or the stars, the moon, the sun, a blade of grass, where God is not. Because it is the expression of his one, infinite, beautiful, radiant being. This is what it is. It is high time that we woke up out of this state of lethargy, out of the doing everyday things as we do them, as a habit pattern, always saying to ourselves, tomorrow I'm going to do this. I want to live a better life. I'm going to change my life. But never really doing anything about it. And then we get into the depths of despair. And it's a strange thing that when people get into those depths of despair, then instead of coming where a group is worshiping God, they stay away because they say they don't want to contribute that vibration. But they don't realize that they do themselves a disservice. That if they were to come, that they could be lifted up and that they would go home no longer in despair, but reaching for the light of their own souls. Whenever anything is wrong, don't stay away, but come together, because when you come, it is not just to receive, it is to give of the power and the wonder and the worship of God within yourselves. Each one of you have God in you so greatly. He is your life. He is your intelligence. He is your vitality, your energy. And when you come not only to receive, but to give of God within yourself, a tremendous power is built. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in the midst of them, said the Lord. And this is true. Why do we always want to take and never give? God's heart yearns for us. He is always pouring his love upon us. He pours all of his good things willingly. But we are not willing to receive, and never do we think of him as giving to him, but always of taking from him. Let us give above all things the greatest gift we can give this year. And that is the gift of ourselves. Let us lay everything that we have at his lotus feet. And let us love him, worship him, adore him, and above all count our blessings each day of our lives. It is so easy to count the blessings that come when they satisfy the human senses. But can we really say that we are blessed when we have adversity foisted upon us? And yet many times it is this very adversity which comes, the hardships, the suffering, the pain, the taking away of everything, which brings us the glory and the growth of God. Man does not grow unless he expands. And this expansion comes through suffering. It is like a mother carrying her first child. When she starts to carry that first child, she feels the pains of expansion because her body is not accustomed to this. And so it is with man's consciousness. Many times, as you start to meditate and concentrate upon God, you will feel a headache, a pain in the head. And sometimes pain grows unbearable. And in the beginning, you feel like you have to take an aspirin in order to get rid of that pain, to bring your consciousness down. And this is not bad. If you really have to do it, do it. But as you keep up with this, and you meditate, and you concentrate, and you dedicate your whole self to God, you will find that the pain leaves you. And finally, you will be able to meditate upon God. You will be able to speak of him for hours upon hours without any consciousness of self. You forget that you have a body. You forget that you have a mind, because God is using you as his instrument, and that expansion has gone all the way. And the Hindus speak of the 1,000-petal lotus of the brain. and gradually as the consciousness unfolds, the petals of the brain open, and finally, the great light of God manifests itself in every department of your being. That is what Jesus meant when he said, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light. It's not merely pure and absolute concentration upon God, although that certainly must be. But it is that the ophthalmic gland unfolds itself, it opens itself, and that light pours over it. That's why it says in Revelation that the streets are paved with gold when you come to that state. But it is not the streets of gold that we think of in the material sense, but the streets, the cities, the nations within ourselves. Because we are a universe. Absolute universe. We are the microcosmic part of the macrocosmic whole. And just like there are many universes which we cannot see and which we do not know about, and yet we have some idea about, so also within ourselves we have untold worlds which have not unfolded. Who does not want to go all the way and know all there is to know? And yet, you see, it boils down to this one simple thing, to know yourself. To know yourself. To be true to yourself. And then all the rest comes afterward. All the rest of it. Everything is given to you if and when you need it. You need not concern yourself. The scriptures also say that. Because at that moment when that need is there, the words shall be given unto you. Do you think that all of these words that are coming out of me, I have rehearsed before, that I have sat and memorized? I stand up here before you with maybe an idea of what I'm going to talk about, the subject that is. And God just pours these words out to you. They are not thought of before. I try many times to sort of line something up, and it doesn't work. He doesn't want me to do it this way, because he wants me to just get an idea, and then he wants to speak through this form which he created to you who are his children. I myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. Thank God I have risen to that state, finding through his grace and his will. The thing that I learned to do was to accept everything which he gave me without question, knowing that it was for my highest good. And the next thing was the surrender of my human will to his will totally, keeping not one thing for myself. Now this is not a state of death. It is a state of the most intense awareness, the greatest beauty, the deepest joy, the greatest happiness, the greatest success, wonder, everything and love that you can possibly imagine. For the first time, I am alive. I am living. I am not the walking dead. I am not a walking zombie as I was once, thinking that I live, reaching out for the satisfaction of the things which would make me happy in the human, but which were taken away from me again. Because everything which comes to you in the human sense will have its opposite at some time or other. For life, as we think of it in the human, we find death. For joy, we find pain and suffering and sorrow. There, these pairs of opposites are constantly playing back and forth and back and forth. And it is when you have finally just concentrated, as Jesus said, seek ye first God and his kingdom. Concentrate on him alone, that these forces that play back and forth come to a standstill and a balance. And then you go beyond the mind, beyond all senses, and you find your true self, which is God within you. There's a story told in India about a man who was a householder. He was married, he had a family, he was living a good life, but he got a great urge to go out and seek God. And because he hadn't been taught that God was within him, he started wandering the countryside. Somebody had told him that he must worship idols and he must read the scriptures. So he took a long bamboo pole over his shoulder, and on one end of the pole he had a trunk in which he carried many idols as he accumulated them along the way. And he had them all set up and he would worship all of them. On the other side, he carried another trunk in which he carried the scriptures and the spiritual books that he collected on the way. Well, each place he went, he picked up something new, because this is what he had been taught. So he was worshiping many idols, and he was reading many books. But one day, the burden of the trunks was so heavy that he could scarcely carry it anymore. And he knew that he had to stop collecting these things or they would break his back. So he put the pole down in the trunks by the roadside, and he sat there and he said, God, you must tell me what to do. I have been told to worship you in this way, and yet the burden of carrying these objects of worship around has become too great for me. And it so happened that just then a saint came walking down the road, and he said, my son, what is this problem that you have? So the man told him what his problem was. He told him that he had been told to worship these idols, to read all of the holy scriptures, and that the burden of carrying them around had gotten too heavy for them. He said, what shall I do? So the saint made a suggestion. He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, take all of the idols out, and he said, cast them upon a rock. And the one that remains without breaking, he said, that is the greatest, that is the strongest. Worship that one. So he did this, and so all of the pottery images, the images that were made of breakable material, he threw, and they were crushed. But there was one that remained, and that was made out of metal, and it was the form of Shiva. So he worshipped Shiva. Then he picked out his favorite scripture of all of those that he had carried with him, and he kept only that one alone. And he kept on with that. And just as the saint was leaving, but he said, remember that every time you worship, he said, seek for a greater object of worship. So the man remembered that bit of advice. And he also told him to return home to his family, that his family should not be deprived of his company in order that he might seek his God realization, because he said, God is equally present everywhere. So the man returned to his family, and the wife was overjoyed to see her husband, and she told him she would in no way interfere with his worship. So he sat the bust of Shiva up, and every day he would offer fruits and flowers and incense before the god Shiva. But strangely enough, when he had his eyes closed in meditation, when he opened them, he would find that the fruit had disappeared from the altar. And he thought to himself, this is the most tremendous God I am worshiping, because this God, even though it's a brass idol, has the power to eat the food. And so he thought this was just great. He had picked the right one. But finally, one day, his curiosity overcame him, and he dared to open his eyes. And there on the altar, guess what he saw? He saw a mouse gorging himself on the fruit. And he was about to reach out in great anger because he had taken the food from his God, when he remembered what the saint said, that he should always reach for a higher object. So he thought to himself, well, the mouse must be higher than Shiva because he can eat the fruit that was offered to the God. So he grabbed the mouse, he put a string around his neck, and he put him up on the altar, and he took the bust of Shiva down. And he started worshiping the mouse. So the mouse got very fat, eating all the fruit and the food that was put on the altar every day. But so the man kept meditating and worshiping the mouse god, and one day when he had his eyes closed in deep meditation, he heard a terrible noise on the altar. And he looked up, and there was a cat. And he had taken the mouse, killed the mouse, and he was about to eat it. So he was about to reach out and kill the cat because he had killed his idol, and all of a sudden again he remembered what the saint had said, and so he put a string around the cat's neck, and he put him up, and he let him finish his meal, which was the mouse. And each day then, the cat didn't have to go out foraging for mice anymore. He was given all the food that he needed. And so every day the man's wife would come and bring the man a glass of milk and would set it there. And she looked at all of this silly worship that was going on, and she thought her husband must have lost his senses. And so she thought to herself, well, I've put this glass of milk there, but if that cat drinks it, believe me, I'm going to get after it. So one day, sure enough, she came in, and the milk was gone, but her husband was still meditating, and the cat was licking the milk off its whiskers. So she took a broom, and she was about to strike it, and the man opened his eyes, and he stopped her, and he grabbed hold of her. He said, how dare you do this to my cat, God? But then suddenly again this thought came to him, and he thought, well, she was going to kill the cat, so she is greater. So he said to his wife, you must sit up on the altar and let me worship you. So she agreed to do this. And she sat up day after day. He worshiped God and his wife. And so one day the wife got so tired of just sitting there and having her husband worship her that her head nodded and fell forward more and more. And finally, she fell forward and she hit him right in the head. And he became so angry, he said, how dare you do this when I'm... And then he stopped. And he thought, she has hit me. She has fallen on me. I am the grass. And so all of a sudden, he put garlands on his own head, and he went inside, and he found that which he should have found in the first place, that God was within himself. That's where we should go to worship. The Christ is in you now. He is your greater self, the Son of God within you. When you finally realize this, recognize it, and go within yourself to seek him, you shall indeed be true to yourself. The truth shall make you free, and you shall be false to no man. God is. He is you. He is me. He is everyone. But we must realize our oneness with our Father. That's why the Christ came, to show us the example of the way that we must go. He said, he who will not pick up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And this body, here's the tree, the cross, the burning bush, if you will. It is the temple, the church, that place which houses the living God. It is only within that you will find him. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Now let us pray to him. Oh Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see thy face. Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love. May thy love shine forever. Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own. And bring them to thee.
Oh.